Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. Well, thinking about what should I talk about today? Well, I was thinking about the Memorial Day services and wondered about music. What about music and our armed services? What about music and war? What about music and memories? And what comes to mind, I'm wondering what kind of comes to your mind when you think of Memorial Day services and music. It was Taps is what came to my mind. Well, then I asked John, I said, okay, when you think about war and music and so on, what's one song that comes to mind? And he quickly said, God Bless the USA. And there are many more songs. I'm guessing John could list a whole bunch of the songs that have now been written about the soldiers coming home, the soldiers not coming home. If you watched any of the special Memorial Day program last night on TV, you saw some of the, or heard some of those songs. So music is very much related to war, to military, to celebration of our armed services. And saying that, of course, it also was used very much for morale purposes and to get support for from the folks at home. So, you know, it music is such a strong emotional part of our lives that, of course, music has been an integral part of warfare and the soldier's life since the dawn of history. Since we have any history at all, that music or some sort of music has been an important part. Even the instruments on which it is played have themselves acquired a great symbolic power. A regiment's drums are second only to its colors as an emblem of honor and tradition. And the horns, the different kinds of horns, and think about that picture that we often see related to the Civil War. What do we see out there? It is the young boy and the soldier, the torn flag, etc., with the drum and the fife. So the function, of course, in music and war has always been twofold. One, it's a communication thing. And now we have cell phones and all that sort of stuff, other kinds of technology. But in the beginning, that kind of, especially drums and other instrument, was a way of communicating what was happening. And as we mentioned, it is a psychological weapon, whether it's for morale building or to get the enemy off, you know, the strange sounds and so on. So the among the oldest references to how drums were used, if you go to chapter 6 of the Old Testament's book of Joshua, you will hear or you will read about the ram's horns being used against Jericho and how it made the walls of Jericho come tumbling down. So that's one of the earliest references in that we now have in print. Both the Greek and Roman armies used brass and percussion instruments, including the ancestors of the modern cornet and tuba, to convey information on the march, in the field, and in the camp. Greek armies on campaign employed musicians to accompany poetic recitations and odes designed to remind soldier and citizen alike of the valor of past heroes. And after the collapse of Rome in the West, its tradition of martial music was preserved and refined by the Eastern Empire and the Byzantine. So it goes on. When veteran crusaders returned to Europe, they brought instruments and ideas with them. As they were absorbed into the various feudal armies, the use of martial music spread rapidly. And because those crusaders came from different parts of the countries and the world, they soon adapted those tastes and kind of refined them into another new kind of music. The we talked about the trumpets, the drums, the cornet, and so on. And so added to that were the reed wind instruments and bagpipes. And often when we have military funerals, we see the bagpipes being used. Bagpipes were one of those first ones that sort of scared the enemy. I mean, it's sort of a strange sound when you hear those bagpipes coming over the hill. You knew that something was going to be happening soon. In fact, the bagpipes were so powerful that for a while they were outlawed by the enemy because, you know, they could just do a lot of harm to the enemy. but that was soon taken away. Over time, of course, we added the melodies and so on, and they were not just the popular melodies, but also became classical music being used in many different ways to, again, morale, to keep the troops going and so on. When the first American Soldier's Manual was issued to the Continental Army in 1778, it contained a list of beats and signals modeled on those used in European armies, and those were the ones that did the communication. The sounds would carry even when perhaps the smoke and so on, you could not see the flags, the battle flags. Well, the sounds would carry and would communicate what was going on. Now, of course, as we said, technology has changed, but as not all that long ago, in the 1950 to 53, the Chinese lacked modern radio communications, and it sort of upset the Marines because the music was so, well, for us it would be weird. And the Chinese bugle calls were just alien, and they were coming from the dark hills around our Marines. So they had to kind of learn that to handle that psychological message from the enemy. Now, if you remember back to World War II, and I know some of you listening do, what are some of the songs that you remember being very popular? Again, lots of popular songs, both for the morale of folks at home as well as our soldiers fighting. One that came to mind quickly to me was "Don't Sit Under the Apple Tree with Anybody Else But Me." Lots and lots of them. And, of course, another tune that you perhaps always think of is the Star-Spangled Banner. And it was one of those, not in terms of the story of the specific Star-Spangled Banner, but different countries came up with different songs related to their branches of service and what they were doing. And so it would be likened to the Star-Spangled Banner. And so when the people who were fighting heard those songs, they knew that was their group of people. Very important. Now, you might guess the enemy decided that was a way to use that. There was a particular melody, tune, sound that meant retreat in, I'm sure, all armies, but in this particular case, in the French army. And the enemy found out what that was, duplicated it, and when the French were going forward, that song was played, those sounds were played, and they retreated. Well, it was the enemy telling them to retreat. So it can be used in many, many different ways. In particular in the Civil War, but probably in the other wars too, but there was both music and poetry. There was a legacy of the Civil War still remains in the poetry and the music left behind at this time. Bands on both sides would frequently borrow songs and lyrics from the other and kind of made them up as parodies. Probably, if you think about it, one of the Civil War songs you would come up with is Dixie. It was created before the Civil War, but it gained popularity during the Civil War. And Dixie originally tells the story of a freed black slave yearning to return home to the simple life on the plantation. But both North and South created their own versions, their own words for Dixie. The Battle Cry of Freedom and Home Sweet Home were also featured both in the Union and the Confederate versions. So think about the next time you hear a song related to our services, related to war, and think about how important that is to all involved, those who are fighting, those who are at home. And on this Memorial Day, let's remember not all those who fought and died for us, all those who are still fighting, and all of the folks at home.